Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions. Whether you need a new warehouse line, hedging, or are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday, August 24th to you. And there is a lot to talk about. We've got so much to cover. I'm beginning to wonder how we're going to get it all in this week and this week's broadcast. So, by the way, I want to tell you all, those of you that are use Twitter, you can Twitter your comments into us. That's a great way to get some instant feedback. Twitter your comments into David Lincoln on Twitter. So you can follow me if you care to. And Alice is on there as well. You can see who we're following. But Twitter your comments in. We'd love to get them. IM them. Email them. I don't care. We'd love to hear from you and get your comments into this. But again, like I said at the top, there is so much to talk about. So let's dive into interest rates. Joe, good to have you on the phone. You, Scott, as well. Let's into what's happening with the markets. We're seeing, Joe, it appears to be a bit of a trading range forming here, are we not?
Well, it has been. We've been up and down. It seems like each week, once if we get much above using the 4.5% coupon for a price, if we get much above par, we seem to pull back down. And once we get a little below par, we rise back up. So it's been a volatile time. Today's a pretty good example of volatility. We opened up lower this morning and down about 6:30 seconds, and on no real news, rallied to plus 8 at one point. So we're up for the day and about where we have been for each of the last 4 or 5 weeks. It's just been sort of a jagged ride getting from there to here.
The economic news that we have coming out has been, what is on the economic calendar day? Why don't you give us a quick rundown this week? I know there's a lot happening.
Seems like there's always a lot happening. Let's kind of go over what happened last week, because it was an interesting week for what drove rates. It was last week we had very strong manufacturing index. There were two regional indexes that came out much, much stronger than expected. And that helped drive the stock market higher. We saw a nice rally in the stock market. And usually those two things would be enough to push mortgage rates higher. As people see opportunity in the stock market, they might sell out of their safer, less risky kind of mortgage-backed security investments and push rates higher. The offset, though, which was nice because for the week, mortgage rates wound up about where they started. And for the week, the PPI index came out early in the week and showed a very tame inflation month for the month of July. And then the Fed also, and I don't know to what extent, but probably didn't hurt, the Fed also stepped up a little bit their purchases under their mortgage-backed security purchase program. They had been buying about $20 billion a week, and they stepped that up by about 25% to where they purchased $25 billion this week. So that had to have helped, and it was a nice little offset. Also last week, Dave, we saw some very good housing numbers. Did you notice that? I mean, existing home sales were up.
I did a broadcast, a Fox Business broadcast on that. So, yeah, for those that didn't catch it, give us an update.
Well, the existing home sales were up about 7%, and it's I believe it's the first time in many, many years that we've seen 4 monthly increases in a row of existing home sales. That was very, very good news, and we're seeing that the tax credit is continuing to stimulate activity. We're seeing lots of those being first-time home buyers. In fact, the National Association of Realtors reported about 30% of the existing home sales were to first-time home buyers, and another 30% were sales of what do they call it, distressed assets, you know, distressed homes. So, all very good news last week in the housing market. I know that's there's some people listening that may be stuck in a market that's not anywhere like that, but on a national scale, things appear to have bottomed out and seem to be getting better.
It is encouraging to see some of the data come in about home sales, new home starts and all of that. There seems to be a confidence forming and a bit of a bottom, so to speak, to the housing. And so, yeah, I think that's great news. And now we just hope and pray that this continues all the way through into the fall and into the year. You know, with companies like Colonial being taken over, I just wrote an article that's going to be published, soon to be published in the National Mortgage Professional magazine, a great magazine. If you don't subscribe to it, you should get an update, a more thorough look at some of our view on a lot of these topics. But one of the things I discussed there was, Joe, was the fact that Colonial Bank's takeover by the feds at the first of this month, early August, was just really not boding well for many in the industry. So even though things are starting to improve, getting some good economic numbers and housing, the capacity issue keeps now start popping up. So we're going to be talking about that in future broadcasts. We've got so much to go on. One thing that is, Ben, go ahead if you want to comment on that. I got one more question for you, Joe.
Well, I was just going to go forward to the calendar for the week. This week we have durable orders coming out, which may be another sign that the economy is either stronger than expected or not. I guess we'll just wait and see. But the big news this week is, again, going to be Treasury auctions.
That's where I was just going to go, is the Treasury. We need to have you explain for our listeners the difference between the Treasury auctions and the MBS. I mean, we hear the Fed's in buying, and so – as you go through the list of auctions we have, what their plan is, relate that back also to them being a strong buyer of MBSs.
Well, let's go back to the Fed meeting, a couple weeks ago, when they released their announcements or their notes from the meeting. They had made comments on two separate programs, and I think there's been some confusion about the programs. One program is they had established an objective to buy $300 billion worth of Treasury securities. And that program is separate and apart from another objective to buy $1.25 trillion of mortgage-backed securities. So the Treasury securities was $300 billion. Mortgage-backs were $1.25 trillion. The Fed came out in their minutes from that meeting to say that we are going to stop buying Treasury securities. We're going to finish the $300 billion. It's now going to be October before we finish it, when it was originally expected to be September. But they kind of put a stop. They put some finality to that program. Now, as it related to
the
mortgage-backed security, the Treasury program. As it relates to the mortgage-backed security program, purchase program, all they said was, we're not changing the amount or the expected timing on that program. Well, that program's scheduled to run out in December. They're about 760 some odd billion into the 1.25 trillion. Last week they purchased 25 billion, and if they were going to spend that 25 billion each week for the rest of the year, they'd just about run out at the end of the year. So the MBS program was not changed at all, and I think there was some misunderstanding as to which program was coming to the end that was being discussed. So
yeah, it's good. It's so good that our listeners understand the difference, and it is so important that the Fed stay in continually buying MBSs, which is not to be confused with the treasuries. And so that can be a real issue for bringing about some confusion. So that's important. I know, Scott, you're in the background there and always got some comments. Before we close out this segment on rates, you got any wisdom you want to impart in there?
Well, just be interesting to see. Last week the market
really was settled by the inflation numbers. That gets back to really fundamental trading. You have some growth. Economic reports indicate that, but inflation's under control. The interest rate markets are generally pretty comfortable with that. But as the year goes on, as Joe was saying, and these programs wind down, we'll see. And we'll see how the market absorbs that debt. The Fed has certainly had a big influence on that, and how that will impact rates, we will certainly begin to know by the end of the year.
Yep. Well, it is appreciate both of you for being on the program. You bring us so much valuable information. And let's take a brief break for this word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
All right, good to have you back. We got a lot going on in the legislative update. We're going to keep this one a little bit shorter, because we're going to expand it out into the next segment. That's going to go on and on, probably for several programs. Alice Alvey, it's good to have you with us, as always. Give us an update on what's going on in the world of legislation that's going to have an impact on our industry.
Well, on our quick update at this point, we don't have a lot of movement on many of the things that we've been watching. The RESPA final rule is still on track, so people do need to start getting prepared for that. It's not too soon. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that more in future shows after we get through this truth in lending issue we have to spend time on today. So no movement on the HVCC moratorium that is being proposed. That is still, I know it's causing people a lot of frustration, and I think maybe as an industry we're going to have to look to see if there's a way we can solve that on our own without trying to go through it in a legislative process. And we can even talk about how there's even parts of HVCC that are being embedded into this truth in lending proposal that we'll be talking about in a little bit. So no movement on trying to advance FHA. The one thing that is due to come up for renewal, October 1st would be the expiration of FHA's moratorium on risk-based premiums. And right now, we don't have any direct word from FHA on what their plans are, but inside Mortgage Finance is reporting that FHA has, or HUD has said that they're not planning on implementing anything immediately, and so that would be a good news thing. We'll watch to see if we can all get something in writing on that to confirm that FHA mortgage insurance premiums will stay the same after October 1st. So that's my quick little update, basically, that not a lot of other things have moved because we've had to just really focus on the 600 pages of the Truth in Lending proposal. So I will tell you that that is due to get, we do have a docket number for everybody. It is issued that, but it hasn't formally been published in the Federal Register yet. That's supposed to happen this week. So I'll let you take it from there, Dave.
Well, I guess there's, with the recess, that things are definitely in a wait. But I wait and see what happens, and kind of stalled out. But there's certainly a lot going on. We encourage you all to just keep listening in and refer our link to our website or on Blog Talk Radio's link to all your friends that are out there. We need to bring to the awareness of every mortgage banker, every mortgage lender, every mortgage broker, everybody involved in this industry. Make them aware of what's going on with a lot of this legislation. It is significant. We've never seen these kind of changes. You've been in this industry a long time, as I have, Alice. I've been in it for 36 years. You've been in it for a good amount of that time alongside it. Have you ever seen a season where there's been so much pending legislation?
I would have to say, maybe back in the, there's a time back when the RESPA changes were first really coming out, like I think I have to go all the way back to 92, but this is really the biggest amount of, the biggest onslaught I've seen us have in many, many, many years.
Yeah, I've been at this since, I remember when RESPA Reg Z came out for the first time in 1970. I think it was 1973 or 74, right back in the early 70s. And I mean, since then it has been. And we thought it was going to kill us back then. Little did we know what was coming down the line. But anyway, thank you so much for the update. Let's take a quick break for this word, and we're going to be coming back and talking to you about the Reg Z changes. It's the hot topic of the week. We're spending a lot of time on it. Be right back.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from applications through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
Well, it's good to have you back. Thank you back for listening in and tuning in to Lickin' on Lending. We see a number of people dialing in on the phone and listening that way. Also, you can listen by going to blogtalkradio.com and in the search box put in Lickin' on Lending, and you'll bring up not only the current broadcast as it's being broadcast, but you can go back and listen to all the former broadcasts that we've done, and you also see what's coming up on the docket for future broadcasts. So anyway, good to have you back. There's so much going on, Alice, with Reg Z. You started talking about it, just opening it up a little bit, but let's really dive deep into the weeds of this thing, and I'll tell you, it feels like weeds. You know, Tiger, we talk about Tiger playing golf, he's always down the middle of the fairway. You know what? My golf game is all over the fairway. I get my money's worth. I get my exercise out there. Anyway, let's dive into the weeds of the proposed rule. So much happening here.
Yeah, it really is. The Reg Z, so for those of you who maybe missed last week's show, although we think you need to go back and listen to that one because we really got into a little bit on trying to decide how are loan officers going to be compensated. But let me kind of start with just the high level of it is a proposed rule that we all got a draft of. A draft was circulated a couple of weeks ago. I did find out this morning in talking to the Federal Reserve Board that they've just issued a docket number, so write this down. It's docket number R1366. That's the docket number for the closed-end 600-page version, and then it's R1367 for the open-end. So today we're going to stay focused on the closed-end, our mortgage loans. So now we have a comment period that should extend into the end of December. They are telling us that this is supposed to actually be formally published in the Federal Register this week. They have received already some comments via email. So in the second page of the rule, so you don't have to go through all 600, but on page 2 of it, it gives you 4 different ways for you to be able to respond to the proposed rule. You can actually go to the FederalReserve.gov website, although it's a little difficult to kind of surf through that. You can send an email to regs.comments@FederalReserve.gov. So that's regs.comments@FederalReserve.gov. So get that information down, because as we start to give you a summary of this, you're going to say, boy, I need to get my say into this. And we're also going to try and help you with some ways to respond. So.
Yeah, and we're going to be having that. And again, we're going to be covering this due to a lot of feedback we received from many of you as you have been tuning in and listening to this and circulating this around. Again, we need to create a groundswell of response to this. And unfortunately, to date, there has been not much. It's been sneaking by or going quietly unnoticed. We hope to change that. Let's get into the methodology of all this, Alice.
Okay. I think, you know, when you read the details, you can see they really did do a lot of consumer study. They presented this to a lot of consumers, the current disclosures we have, what else. And, you know, this is a message that it seems like the Federal Reserve Board's trying to demonstrate that they can look out for the customer. So the methodology was to really have consumers give them feedback. So they've spent quite a bit of time trying to design disclosures that are a little more consumer-friendly. As a matter of fact, a big chunk of this near the back of the reg is many samples of the disclosures that the new Truth in Lending disclosure that we'll all be using. I actually kind of like the way it looks. I think it is a lot easier to read than the one that we have now. So they're going to be changing the ARM program disclosure adding two more disclosures that are each one pages that explain key questions about your mortgage, and then another one pager that compares a fixed versus an adjustable, and then there
oh,
are
good.
Two new disclosures for even the servicing area.
Is it? It's more than just format. It's the calculations and how the calculations of the TIL, the Truth in Lending. Is there any changes to the calculations per se?
Yeah, I think one of the issues, you know, we've used the term finance charges, and we've just counted certain fees in our definition of finance charges. And then those finance charges, in other income-generating fees to the lender for the most part, plus the interest over the life of loan, that number is what was used to calculate the annual percentage rate that customers saw. Well, they're saying, well, there's some fees in, some fees out. You know, customers can't really shop. They need all the fees included. And so they're expanding the definition to include third-party fees if the creditor requires the use of the third party. And the only things now that will be excluded would be fees that truly you would not have had you had a cash transaction, which is very few of our documents. You can take most of the documents and say, well, if I was buying cash for the house, would I have gotten an appraisal? I might have, so yes, include that fee. Yeah. So most of the fees will be part of that finance charge. So all of our APRs will look a lot higher than they have been in the past.
Oh, that is such important. I mean, and so many of the vendors out there that are providing solutions, you know, technology solutions, the industry, I'm sure are scrambling to look at, is this going to happen? If so, the changes that are going to have to be, or the impacts across the industry, and many of those that are supporting the industry are going to have to take notice of this. I'm sure are.
Well, I was just going to say the issue with that was, okay, if my APRs are going to appear higher, well, October 1st, we have this new high-priced mortgage loan rule that comes in. So if my APR is more than 1.5% above this average prime offered rate, as shown right now, the government's already set up what that average prime offered rate is. I think today for a 30-year loan, it was 5.18. So if my APR on my loan is more than 1.5%, if I locked the loan today, more than 1.5% above that 5.18, I would trigger a high-priced mortgage loan, and the biggest issue in that is my customer could not waive escrows. So you have a trickle-down with this issue into some other regulations that are also going to be implemented soon.
Well, there is a great deal. Is there any more in the methodology you want to cover in this broadcast? If not, there's so much to cover your house. I want to keep moving on through into the disclosure revisions.
No, I think the methodology was just, you know, consumers are very confused. They didn't understand what the TIL was or APR, so they're trying to fix that.
Well, I would suggest that even some of the mortgage industry stayed really confused because we saw some discrepancies when we do audits of file that would suggest that maybe even the industry was a little confused. Hopefully the methodology is going to improve or take out some of that confusion. Let's go into the disclosure revisions and get a little more specific on that.
Okay. Well, I was just mentioning about the finance charges changes, but we're going to be having the initial TIL revised format. Actually, if you look at it, it's not that bad. It has the annual percentage rate on it still. What's interesting is it's going to show the customer where on a grid their APR is compared to the APR that would be given to someone who had excellent credit. And then on this same grid with an arrow, it shows you where the high cost zone is. So did you trigger this high priced mortgage loan range? And it would show you if you're in that range, and it has a sentence underneath it that means that could be an indicator of your credit. The disclosures are customized, a little easier to read. They show introductory rate and maximum rates for the different types of programs. I think if you take a look at those, it's hard to argue that these are better than what we have now.
Interesting.
Alice, a question for you there is, what that seems to say is that any customer that maybe doesn't have the best credit is going to see that and sort of in their face, they're going to see a rate that's higher than the best credit guy. Might that create a difficulty between the customer and the loan originator where he now is going to have to address all that?
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right, Joe, that I guess when I'm speaking in terms of this is a good-looking format, and I want to make sure it came across my last sentence, that the new format does look better than the ones we currently have. But you're right, it opens up this can of worms with this range. My contention is people need to take a look at what would the definition for excellent credit be, and then as a loan officer, how do I explain to my customer why they didn't hit excellent. And now that we have credit scores, you know, you may be able to use that, but if this passes, that'll take some education. If you're on the camp that says there's no way this is not the right thing to describe to consumers, it's too much information, you'll want to make sure you say that in your comments in responding to this. So look at a couple of the samples of disclosures that show what that would look like.
Well, let's get into if we're the board authority. Let's talk about refinances a bit.
Well, I think the board authority. It was interesting. Joe and I were talking about this a little bit ahead of time. The Federal Reserve Board is saying they have the authority to come in and require and stop abusive lending practices. So they're allowed to establish requirements that would prohibit abusive lending practices that aren't in the best interest of the borrower. Does that sound familiar, Joe? We were talking about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, we sure.
Well, the timing on the release of this proposed rule, in the face of the proposal by Geithner and Bernanke, and not Bernanke, but Geithner and the president, to create the Consumer Financial Protection Act agency is, I think it's pretty clear that the Fed's trying to say, hey, we don't really need that.
Well, there's one of the questions that just popped up. Someone tweeted me with a question. If we could interject this question on behalf of one of our listeners, it says, is this HUD? Is this Fed? Who is really driving this? These changes, Al?
Well, it's the Federal Reserve Board now trying to basically, like we were just kind of alluding to, saying that, yes, they will be looking out for the consumer. So if you say in a previous proposed bill was to create this Consumer Financial Protection Agency because the other agencies weren't geared towards looking out for the customer, this sounds like the Federal Reserve Board, which is made up of the Federal Reserve banks, that this is the governing board over the Federal Reserve banks, that they do have the ability, the authority, and the ability to look out for the consumer. So I think this is their way of trying to flex that authority.
There's never been a time where more feedback is coming in to us. We are hitting on a note that is of high interest to the industry, and my inbox is loading up with questions, so I'm going to start digesting these. Let's move on to the next topic. A lot of people are wanting to go to the next topic beyond this, but there's a prohibition on payments to loan originators and steering. Boy, this is just opening up the whole discussion of loan officer compensation. And I think that we have a good number of loan officers that are listening in on this. Why, Alice, this has really got some people worried. And here's what's interesting. And, Joe, we were talking about this earlier. Business owners are just saying, what do I need to do to be in compliance? Loan officers are saying, are you kidding me? Are they for the first time going to start regulating what I can make as a loan officer? Alice, take it away. Let's get into it.
Well, the way this is worded, it says that loan officers could not be compensated based on the transactions, terms, or conditions, which right now we know compensation is based on many facets of those two words. And in the verbiage, it does include bank loan officers. It's very specific to say if you are a creditor who employs originators, that your group too, so credit unions, banks, and so forth, would be subject to this. Now, one of the things we want to help people on this call, I think, is how to respond to this, how to factually comment. And the board did say that they haven't been able to identify a few things, and they're using some older information for how many mortgage people will this affect, how many loan officers are out on the street. And so we think loan officers need to stand up and say, what's the benefit of yield spread and what's the benefit of overages? You know, there are benefits to customers in terms of sometimes being able to finance things in the interest rate as opposed to actually having cash, for example.
One of the questions that are just coming, that's just was emailed into me, and again, Jones and Alice and Scott, if you could see my inbox, it's just loading up. I'm digesting and reading as fast as we can on these. They're saying expand. I think probably the general consensus of several questions, expand on YSP. How is it being proposed to be changed?
Well, it's not just changed, it's eliminated, that a loan officer could not be paid a yield spread premium based on, well, in other words, you couldn't be paid a yield spread because that's a conflict of interest for you. And so we would have to look at, as an industry, what are the alternatives? Is the yield going to a company, and therefore then how does a company structure compensation back to the loan officer so that it's not driven by interest rate? In other words, they want to take that conflict of interest out so that your interest is just about closing a loan. You know, we were having the discussion on, well, as a company, how do I cover my overhead then between low loan amounts and high loan amounts? Well, low loan amount customers actually end up with higher costs because right now you have the ability with varying yields to have your higher loan amounts, you know, contribute to overhead.
Right. Yeah, and I think the one of the questions, when you said YSP is going to be eliminated, the responses were just overwhelming to this. What's so neat about Twitter is that you can actually get immediate feedback, and I mean immediate, when things are live here. Keep it up, folks. We love the tweets. The new technology is just too much fun for an old guy like me. I'm turning 59 today, Alice.
Oh, that's right. Happy birthday. Forgot
and
to
I
say
feeling,
that.
I'm trying to stay young here and stay up with all this, but it is really interesting. Yield spread premiums, one of the questions coming in, is it focused on just mortgage brokers? Are they just trying to drive mortgage brokers out of business is one of the questions.
Well, you know, I guess there are a lot of people that just read that into it. You know, it's hard to try and say, what would the structure of a company be if I am a mortgage broker? How can I operate? And those are all the things that will really depend on what the final verbiage is of this law. They're putting this out for comment now. This is where people need to respond to say, look, I'm a small entity. So I think what can work in this that people need to watch for is the board is looking for comments about the impact financially to small companies, and that includes small banks. So a small bank, if you're $175 million in deposits or less, or if you're a small company and you're $7 million in origination, you know, if you're a broker lender or less, or $7 million revenue, then, you know, take a look at what would this financially cost me? And again, I think an issue to address is how much will it impact my lower loan amounts, my lower income customers who may have to pay more for financing. So instead of people getting riled up on, is this going to eliminate loan officers, I say come up with some facts about how this is not good for consumers and you'll all have jobs. And again, it's, you know, it's all ethics-based. They're trying to make sure that we're not conflict of interest with our consumers.
Well, I think a big thing is a lot of people are saying, do I have to sit down and read a 600-page document? I'm not an attorney. I mean, I don't have time to do that. Our response to that would be dial into the program. Stay tuned to this program. We're going to be bringing you live updates as we read the 600 pages, as we go through it. And I tell you, there's nobody better to do that than Alice Alvey. We're thrilled to have you. Let's take a quick break and for this word.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
Whether you need a new warehouse line, or making the transition from broker to banker, are interested in mergers and acquisitions,
or anything in between, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking
Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
All right, good to back. Good to have you back to Lickin' on Lending. There's so much, as I'm sitting here reading these notes, Alice, it's just astounding. I think it's important to go back and try to get to a 30,000-foot view of this whole thing. What this is, at least this section of the proposed changes or the rule changes to Reg Z, it has to do with steering. A lot of regulators, a lot of observers of our industry saw our industry, or viewed or had the view of our industry, or the opinion of our industry, that we steered people into products where we made as an industry more money, or that were easier, and as a result of that, we brought a lot of folks into harm's way. And if they had gone the route of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the tried and true old programs, a lot of people would have not gotten into trouble, and their house may have been foreclosed upon. Certainly there's an argument that it was very convenient with the no-doc loan programs we called Alt-A, very little documentation was required for a period of time. And it was so easy, Alice, and I know you know this, and Scott, you can comment to this. It was just so much easier in a time where there was so much lending activity, we were facing capacity issues. And that's back when there was a lot more people in the industry. We were facing capacity issues in 2003, 2004 because of the huge volume of refinances. There was one point where it made economic sense to refinance your home three times in 1 year, and I believe that was in 2003, because rates were falling so rapidly, the economic equation said, yep, go ahead and refinance, that makes sense. So we were dealing with capacity issues, we were trying to meet the industry's needs, or the need for financing in the marketplace, and so some of these programs began to emerge during that time, Alice, and it was just to the point where you say, we can take you through a full doc package, Mr. Consumer, or there's this new product out here. And that really, quite frankly, we don't need to verify your income. We don't have to verify this and that. It really streamlines the process. So I really wonder, Alice, if so much of it was steering people into that as much as a matter of convenience to get people handled and through the pipeline.
Well, I think you're bringing up a good point, the idea that we're in this steering verbiage. So, you know, what does it say in the law? It ultimately, I don't think, would have changed what happened in the past. If that's what you're trying to do, if you're trying to say, let's not have this happen again in the future, one of the issues was people didn't know FHA loans, for example. So if a company isn't approved to do a particular product, but the customer happens to go to that company, then you're still going to have the same issues that you had before. I think they've already put in place the non-traditional lending guidance, which would stop us from, as an industry, offering products that didn't make sense. That's already out there. Let's focus on the disclosures, you know, improving disclosures. You know, it's hard to argue with that aspect and take the LO compensation out of this. That really is not the root of the problem in all cases here.
Well, I think, and I agree with you, I think a lot of it has to do with just a we got to do something kind of mentality out there to keep this from happening again. And so I think we've looked at a lot of aspects of this industry and going, this is the initial response. And I think it's important to realize this. There was a discussion within the administration, or I mean, we're not sitting here as if we have insights to that. I don't want to mean to apply that. But they tried to do this or were attempting to approach this through changes with House bills. They looked at this and said, you know what, there's a more effective and a quicker way to do it. Let's not try to get a new piece of legislation passed. Let's change one of the existing rules. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, it looks like, you know, like we mentioned earlier, that this is more than just simply trying to go through the proposed rule process. It's also trying to say the Federal Reserve Board can be that governing body as opposed to trying to create the CFPA. You know, Scott, have you guys looked at this at all and thought any more? I know you looked at it, but have you thought any more about this aspect of the loan officer compensation?
Well, sure. I mean, certainly there was some abuse, but, you know, I'm trying to think of the cute little cliche that applies there. You know, it's not the arrow, it's the Indian kind of thing. That the, you know, the fundamental there, the yield spread is not the problem. It's the application of that, and, you know, it's a very tough thing. You know, it's kind of like the old gun control issue. Does gun kill the person whose hand it's in? And, you know, YSP has been a key part. And, you know, it's YSP as it relates to the broker world. There's premium, there's overage, there's whatever in every originator's life. I don't care if you work at a big bank. And that's a real useful and necessary tool in financing. Just getting back to that very reason that you said, the guy with the $50,000 loan, you know, how's he going to get financing? Because at the end of the day, it's going to take a bank, an originator, a broker, whomever it may be, some amount of cost, some finite amount to touch a deal. And if your income is effectively fixed, then that borrower that needs a lower loan amount is going to be underserved.
I think what's important for everybody is to recognize that the board's, that what it says in the proposed rule is the board's goal is to craft language that would prohibit the most egregious practices, knowing that they cannot ensure the customer will always have the lowest rate. So if you are someone who says there's no way this can work, I've got to respond to this about broker loan officer compensation, you've got to give those types of examples like Scott was just saying and talk about times where a customer could potentially end up with a higher rate without this. They are saying in here that there's a there's an exception that they would a loan officer would be allowed to be paid directly by a consumer. Now I think this is an issue with me running a company and how can I have an employee of mine paid directly by a consumer that that overlaps with state law issues.
There's a number of aspects to that that just really have a Pandora's box, kind of tack to it. I mean, how can you start encouraging a consumer all of a sudden? I mean, many would complain that, you know, it's difficult enough to control loan originators. It's like herding cats, someone said, just emailed me in. And we look at this and go, boy, that is something. I mean, we want loan officers to be fairly compensated. And I'll tell you, anyone who has had a bad loan officer in a real estate transaction really appreciates the value of a good loan officer, and they should be compensated, you know, at a rate greater than the ones that are not doing the job. So, trying to get into that is one of the really what we need to do. One of the questions that's coming in from several business owners right now is they're going, Dave, let me read this one quote. We don't see us being able to have much effect on it. It seems like this is pretty much a foregone conclusion. How can we as business owners prepare ourselves for this? Well, first of all, I want to say don't think this is a foregone conclusion. We're in a comment period. And to Alice's point, respond with facts. Don't invent things. If you can come at them with facts, you're going to be able to have an impact on this. But the comment that, you know, in the event that this is happening, business owners are busy, Alice, how should, what's the best way for them to prepare the way compensation is handled, specifically this part? What changes to the organization should they be considering?
Well, I guess I want to first talk to your point, Dave, about the idea of responding. January of 2008, there was the HOPA proposed rule that had the loan officer compensation and eliminating yield spread premium in that. We were, as an industry, able to get that removed. We were able to get that removed, and the other parts of HOPA moved forward. So please don't think you have no control over this. Secondly, though, if for some reason this does, you know, really seem like it's going to go through, what can you do to prepare? I think you've got to look at what is the alternative compensation structure, and for each company that's going to be a little bit different based on, are my loan officers getting mostly internet leads? I think the group that's really going to be the most challenging to address is those who are pounding the street, you know, pounding the pavement and getting sales and bringing them in the door. That's the group that likes a good commission check, so maybe you have to come up with a bonus structure of sorts.
Well, we're going to be talking about this and the future and future broadcasts, they're going to go a lot deeper into this issue. I want to say, Alice, thank you so much for the work you have gone to. Alice and I are going to be together up in the great state of Michigan this week, and so we'll be diving into it. We're working with a client together. There is so much to talk about, and there's so much to report on this. We're going to get into appraiser, some of the how the appraiser fits into this, the loan originator ID number, and there's a lot to this. It gets specific. We want to thank you for taking the time to dial in. I want to encourage you that are listening to forward the link to this program or the phone number around the industry. It's critical that you get informed on what's coming and not be surprised. We welcome you to bring as many into this broadcast, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. I want to say thank you to everybody, Alice, Joe, Scott. Have a great week. Look forward to seeing you, Alice, up in your fine state. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr and Scott Sanderson from MBS Quote Line, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.